Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the epistle is taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus. As the vine, I have brought forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and riches. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. Come over to me, all ye that desire me, and be filled with my fruits. For my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey and the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations. They that eat me shall yet hunger, and they that drink me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciples standing whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. After that he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I welcome you to our seminary for the ceremonies of the reception of the cassock, the first profession of vows, and the perpetual profession of vows in the congregation of St. Pius V. Let us go with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and may find grace in seasonable aid. These words are taken from the introit of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, in our ceremonies this morning, two young men have received the cassock and will enter the novitiate of the congregation of St. Pius V. And one will make his first profession of vows in the congregation. And after the ceremony, I will then offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. During communion time, Mr. Rollins will kneel before the Blessed Sacrament and make his final profession in the congregation, in which he will bind himself for life to the vows of obedience, chastity, and stability. On December 21st of this year, he will be ordained to the major order of the subdiaconate, followed by the diaconate in the spring. And God willing, on September 3rd, just about a year from now, Mr. Rollins will be ordained to the holy priesthood. And I ask that you please keep him in your prayers as he begins his preparations for these final steps to the priesthood. And also please keep Reverend Mr. Butler in your prayers as he prepares for his ordination next week. The ceremony began this morning with the postulants receiving a candle. The candle symbolizes our divine Savior, who is the light of the world and the love of our hearts. Without our Lord's light and love, there can be no sanctification. In other words, we could not become saints. And thus we pray that his light may increasingly shine in the minds of these young men who will become novices in the congregation today, and that the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus may increasingly burn in their hearts. The interrogation which follows the exhortation is the means by which these men declare openly and publicly their desire to enter the novitiate, and their intention to observe the constitutions of the community. The constitutions contain the written rules by which all are governed, including the superiors. The constitutions spell out the rights and the obligations of the members, and most importantly, the general and especial purpose of the congregation. The general purpose of the congregation is to promote the glory of God and the sanctification of its members. And the special purpose of our congregation is to perform works of charity toward the Sacred Heart of Jesus and our neighbor. The postulants are then reminded that to become holy, we must be conformed to the image of the crucified Son of God. After this reminder, we sang a hymn in honor of the Holy Ghost, pleading with him to enlighten our minds and to set our hearts on fire. During the singing of the Veni Creator, the cassocks, surplices, the constitutions, and the divine office books were blessed. The postulants were then vested in their cassocks as the choir sang Psalm 15, which states, "Preserve me, O Lord, for I put my trust in thee. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Therefore, my heart hath been glad, and my tongue hath rejoiced." After this sermon, the new novices will receive a copy of the Constitutions and the Book of the Divine Office. Following this, a novice will make his first profession of vows in our congregation. He will kneel at the communion rail, where he will be asked to declare his intentions. He will then kneel before me and read aloud his handwritten formula of profession, in which he will vow to Almighty God to live for 1 year in obedience, chastity, and stability, according to the constitutions of the Congregation of St. Pius V. He will then bind himself by way of an oath, in which he will assert that he is making this profession with a sincere heart and without any mental reservation whatsoever, and that he will be obedient to his superiors and persevere in the congregation for the duration of his profession. The newly professed member of the congregation will then sign the profession and return to the communion rail. He will then pray that God the Father, in his eternal and tender compassion, may receive him in his loving care, that God the Son may give him the grace to generously bear his sweet yoke and gentle burden, that God the Holy Ghost may enlighten his mind and set his heart on fire with divine love, and that the Most Blessed Virgin Mother of God may cover him with the mantle of her maternal protection, so that he may forever abandon himself without reserve to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. He will then receive a crucifix as a reminder of the promise he has made this day to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After the first profession of vows, then follows the Mass. During the Mass at communion time, as I mentioned, Mr. Rollins will kneel in the sanctuary as the Sacred Host is held before him. He will profess his final vows and receive our Lord in Holy Communion. My dear faithful, a vow is a promise made to God by which a person binds himself under pain of sin to do something that is especially pleasing to God. The three vows our members profess are aids to a perfect love of God and love of neighbor. The vows help us live the community life, that is, to live as men who are of one mind and have the same goal. And that goal, as our Constitution state, is to comfort and console the Sacred Heart of Jesus by acts of reparation for the offenses committed against him, and to preserve the traditional Latin Mass and the faith and morals of the Catholic Church, which have come under attack by the heresy of modernism, which was condemned by Pope St. Pius X. But in order to be faithful to the purpose of our congregation, that is, to make reparation and spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and to provide the Mass and the sacraments to the faithful, it is necessary for our members to be unified in heart and in mind. And the three vows of obedience, chastity, and stability are the unifying force. By the vow of obedience, each member assumes the obligation to obey the commands of his lawful superior in those matters which pertain directly or indirectly to the life of the congregation. The purpose of the vow of chastity is to give one's entire and undivided love to Almighty God, who is the highest good. The third vow taken by the members of the congregation is the vow of stability. By the vow of stability, one assumes the obligation to persevere in the congregation for the duration of his profession. It is the vow by which one promises to devote his time and efforts to Christ in the congregation of St. Pius V. When Bishop Kelly wrote the constitutions for our congregation, he understood the value of these three vows. He had gained much experience over the years and therefore wanted to provide stability for the future. And so he established a congregation according to the laws and the mind of the church. In establishing our congregation the way he did, where we all live the common life, he has also provided for us priestly camaraderie. That is, we are able to rely on each other and to help and support each other in our duties and our difficulties. And there is no better way to ensure the spiritual well-being of the members of the congregation and of the people in our chapels who are entrusted to our care, than forming the priests and brothers as the church requires. The congregation, therefore, is a safe and stable community in which the members will answer the plea of the Sacred Heart to be loved by men and the call of the church to help save souls. This is our first ceremonies without Bishop Kelly, and I ask that you please remember him in your prayers today, as well as all the members of the congregation of St. Pius V, that we may follow in the footsteps of our founder and may be religious after the example of the Sacred Heart, and that we may be true sons of our Blessed Mother. And finally, I ask you this morning on this great feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary to pray every day that her loving heart may inspire our young men with a true spirit of detachment from the things of this world and a loving generosity to leave all things and follow Christ, and that our Lord will bless our seminary with many vocations to the priesthood and the brotherhood. And please know that we, in gratitude for all God's blessings, pray the rosary every day for you, our benefactors. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.